This is KOOP Hornsby Austin, 91.7 FM and streaming live at koop.org. Welcome to Reflections of Community Outreach. This show is a product of KOOP's Community Council Outreach Program. Its goal is consistent with the station's mission statement to serve the underserved in our community and to reach out to the community at large in order to connect them with KOOP Radio. Reflections of Community Outreach is a group effort, and I'm proud to join 10 other co-op programmers in this collective. We highlight community organizations and individuals working hard to make Austin a better place. I'm so pleased to have Marty Barnes, founder of Clue Campaign, as my guest today. Clue Campaign's slogan is seeking ways to allow all kids to be kids. Now, Marty, I know you requested that song. That goes out to your daughter, Casey. Casey, I know you're listening. That was Alvin and the Chipmunks, and that was a direct request from Casey Barnes. Now, Marty, I first learned about you in an article that was in the Austin American Statesman, and I have to admit being very moved by not only the story, but what you were trying to do, but also about your story. Marty, and you, Casey. Can you share that with us? Give us some idea of who you are and how you came to be in this position.
Absolutely. And it is my story as well, but yeah, it's really Casey's story. Casey is the star of the story. She is 6 years old now and my entire world. But when she was born about a month early, not quite full term, just short, 36 weeks. I guess 37 is when they're officially full term. So she was technically a preemie. But my uterus actually ruptured completely in half, and she came out, detached the placenta. Everything was actually completely floating inside my abdomen. Rushed to the hospital, emergency cesarean.
So this happened prior to labor, or
there was
before
no labor.
There was no labor.
Nothing. Okay. It was actually a perfect pregnancy.
So
no problems at all.
Just
not
your average
even
terribly
sickness.
Frightening experience.
Just out of nowhere. We'd actually been at a triathlon all day. Of all things, I wasn't in it. I was taking pictures. But yeah, we'd spent the day at a triathlon, came home, just taking a nap before dinner, and our world was turned upside down out of nowhere. So yeah, there was no sign. There was no warning. It was just, you're pregnant and now you're in the hospital and you have no idea what's going on. And she was our first. So I had never had a baby before. I had no idea what labor felt like. So when I was feeling these pains, I was like, oh, we're in labor. Let's go have a baby. And, you know, drug my husband out of bed. And he's like, oh, we're not packed yet. So he's panicking and trying to get everything packed. And I just keep screaming and finally realize, wait a minute, labor's supposed to come and go, and this has not stopped. Instead, it's just getting worse.
So you had continuous pain, I would imagine.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was continuous pain. We lived 4 blocks, thankfully, to the hospital. So it only took us a few minutes to get there. And en route, the pain went from just a bad cramping, what I thought was labor, to these thrusting, just horrible pain. So I'm screaming at the top of my lungs. We're in Los Angeles, where everything is valet parking, including the labor and delivery unit at the hospital. So we pull up and the valet guys come and open the door, and I'm screaming at the top of my lungs. I'm sure they just think I'm a typical LA housewife. Just, ah! So that was kind of funny. But yeah, they get us inside thinking I'm just a big baby. All the labor and delivery nurses think I'm just a big baby. And once they started hooking up the monitors and realized, wait a minute, she's not being a big baby. There's no heartbeat. Things went from serious to, wow, this is out of our hands.
This is something, again, I never even considered. You know, number one, I thought you went into labor and this occurred during delivery at the hospital, number one. But number two, when you show up at a hospital screaming and 9 months pregnant, they're thinking labor pain.
Right. They think I'm being big baby.
Yeah.
And I thought women were crazy. I was like, if this is labor, why on earth do people ever have more than one child?
How are we still around?
Exactly. Yeah. This doesn't make sense to me. So yeah, it got serious quickly. I was completely unconscious for the delivery. They put me under, which is pretty rare. Usually even for cesareans, the woman is still conscious. I was completely under. So I went into the hospital in pain. I was put under within 10, 15 minutes, terrified, and woke up later, no longer pregnant, in the ICU all by myself, no idea what was going on. that the nurse came in pretty quick after I woke up and realized I was awake, and my mm-hmm. husband had been running back and forth between my room and the ICU where my daughter was, the neonatal ICU, NICU is what it's often called. And so he got there pretty quick after I woke up as well. And we didn't know the sex of the baby, so we wanted it to be a surprise. You know, there's few surprises in life. We're like, well, let's make this a real surprise. So all I could think of was, did we have a boy or a girl? Did we have a boy or a girl? And it never occurred to me that anything would be wrong with her.
Yeah, that's kind of another revelation to me as well, is you're waking up thinking
right.
all those pleasant surprises are going to be revealed to you now.
Right, and I did find out the sex. I did get that surprise, but yeah, it came with some other not so pleasant surprises. So he told me we had a daughter, and he took a picture of her up in the NICU and brought that down. So I actually got to see a picture of her. And then he proceeded to tell me that as far as doctors were telling him, she would most likely not make it through the night. And it was rough. So not exactly what you want to hear when you first wake up. And my immediate thought was, I've got to get to her. I've got to get out of this bed, and I've got to get to her. And I was in the ICU as well. And so I was hooked up to 10,000 monitors. I had lost a lot of blood, and our nurse did not want me getting out of bed.
Yeah, this is another interesting thing. If you can take the baby out of the equation, you went through a traumatic medical, problem.
Oh, wow.
And you're still weak, et cetera.
It's actually amazing. And I've talked to other mothers who've had children in the NICU after suffering some sort of trauma to their own bodies as well. And there is something chemical. I really can't explain it other than chemical, that once you have a baby, your body just doesn't matter anymore. All you want to do is get to that baby. And all the pain that I should have been feeling and all of the physical issues I should have been dealing with didn't even exist. I mean, I remember getting up out of bed, and hopefully this isn't too graphic, but blood just rushing to the floor, and all the nurses and my husband trying to get me back in bed. And I'm like, oh, that's nothing. It's a flesh wound. Let's go. I'm going to the NICU.
The news, finally you get out of the ICU. And you're learning, I would imagine, hour by hour, day by day, more about your daughter's condition. Tell us about her first few moments of life.
Well, her first few moments of life, I missed. I didn't get to see her until, by the time I woke up and I got to her, it had been at least a good 8 hours. Her first few moments, my husband did get to go see her dad. She required a full code in the delivery room. So he wasn't there for that. It was just the medical staff for that. She was not breathing. She had no heartbeat. After, I believe, 10 minutes, they had a faint heartbeat. After 15 minutes, gasping breaths, she was intubated, which is where they put the tube yeah. down your throat and help you breathe, and rushed to the NICU right away. So when my husband got to see her, oh gosh, I guess it was maybe an hour after she was born, she was fairly lucid. She was moving around. She wasn't crying, but she was moving, and her eyes were open. And a few minutes after he saw her, he was coming back and forth to me. So he'd spend, 10, 15 minutes with her, and then come spend 10, 15 minutes seeing if I was awake yet.
Yeah.
And I want to say it was maybe an hour or two after that she had a grand mal seizure. And a grand mal seizure is the seizures you see in the movies, where the whole body goes and they're bad. There's many other kinds of seizures. I won't make this a medical show and go into all the different kinds of seizures, but grand mal is a big deal. She had that, and after that, she went into a comatose state. Her eyes shut and her body stiffened up. So it was kind of like a little board. She was straight arms, straight legs, and stiff as a board.
Now, we're either of you around her when this happened, or?
No, we weren't.
Okay, so you're being told this.
Right. I was told this hours later when I woke up. My husband was told this probably 30 minutes after it happened when he went back in there. They had already, dealt with it, and she had been sedated so that she was no longer seizing by the time he got there. But they did tell him what happened, and it took a month before she ever opened her eyes again. And so I never got to see her that first month with her eyes open. I had the picture that he brought me, And I never saw her eyes. And I remember just saying, oh, I would just do anything to see her eyes. And she actually, the first time she opened them was on Mother's Day.
Now, that is amazing.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool Mother's Day present.
There's more than chemistry involved with that. I wanted to talk about 1 month. Mm-hmm. Obviously, this is a pretty desperate situation for Casey. What were they telling you? What was the diagnosis and the prognosis?
Well, the official diagnosis is easiest said HIE, but the full name is hypoxic ischemic encephalopathy. It took me a year to learn to say that right. And sometimes I still don't get it right.
Sometimes we have to learn things that we never want to know about.
Right. Yeah. I've learned a lot of medical terms. But yeah, HIE is the quick way. That's what most people call it. And the short version of that, or the, I guess, the street way to say that is oxygen deprivation.
Yeah, and that's kind of how I was familiar with it. I wasn't familiar with that term, but oxygen deprivation. It's very serious at birth. What were the first things they told you as far as prognosis? I mean, you're again, in a very delicate medical situation yourself. Are they forthright with you? Are they telling you basically as grim as it sounds?
Oh, yeah. There was no sugarcoating things. They were very forthright. They told us up front she wouldn't make it through the night. And so that's why, you know, there was no stopping me. I was going to get to her bed that night. She made it through the night, and then they told us, okay, well, you know, there's no way she's going to see the end of the week. And she got to the end of the week, and they were like, wow, you know, we didn't expect this. Let's just take it day by day. We really don't think she's ever going to go home. I'm surprised she's doing, you know, a week. And they insisted she would never go home.
So literally, in a daily report from your doctors and from your staff, you're being told nothing very good at all.
Oh gosh, yeah. Every day they were telling us worse and worse things. They actually, at one point, kind of, I don't know if you'd call it an intervention or what you would call it, but they cornered me with a whole staff of people to tell me I was delusional and I needed to let go because she was not going to survive.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a little bit difficult to even get your head around.
Yeah.
Well, we've talked about 1 year, and I've heard that your daughter is 6 years old, so I think she's exceeded expectations.
Far and beyond. Yeah, she is a miracle, absolutely.
Keep going.
Oh, okay, sorry. Yeah, she's exceeded all expectations. Doctors never really expected her to do much of anything, and she's got a personality. She doesn't talk, she doesn't walk, she's not mobile, but she's able without words to say so much more than I can with words.
Yeah, and this brings up the last thing I wanted to touch before we take a little break, give you a chance to catch your breath, please. But quality of life, from the articles and from what I've read that you've posted, I see a quality of life that your daughter has. I think that's the most amazing, exceeded expectation. And when we get back after the announcements and a little bit of music, let's talk about what you're doing personally and as an organization to improve not only Casey's quality of life, but hopefully the quality of life for others who are, also as burdened as you have been.